So what nativity scene is complete without a star at the top? But I think sometimes after we look at the Christmas story in our churches, how we set up a little display or we read it in a storybook to the kids, it loses something of the reality, what they lived out 2,000 years ago. It was a real star that those wise men followed. And just as a little quiz, how many wise men were there? Was there? We don't really know, because there was enough of them to actually really disturb Herod and put Jerusalem in uproar. Did they ride camels? Probably not. They probably rode some, you know, powerful steeds, and a great number of them. We just don't know. But we've made it into a little picture storybook with our cardboard cutout stars. And again, I will say, if you haven't really noticed the magnificence of stars in a while, go up the country, camp outside, sleep in a swag or something, and just look at the stars. It is amazing just to look at the constellations. And God even sent an even more magnificent and special star that astrologers and wise men could actually depict that this was a really unusual star. And that's what we're going to talk about first today, that star of Bethlehem, which the wise men followed to find baby Jesus. And it was probably maybe a comet or a nova or supernova. People discuss this all the time over what kind of star it was. And there's much support even outside of the Bible around 5 BC and 7 BC. All these different astronomical things were happening. For example, Jupiter and Saturn, which were planets of rulers in their thinking, and Pisces, which was associated with Israel, all came into the same sphere. They all just became close to each other, which would have made the skies extra bright and extra exciting. Supernatural manifestation is another idea of what this star that God sent could have been about. Others say a comet or a supernova, as I've mentioned. Others say it could have just been a very special star that God put there, like a manifestation of himself, like the pillar of fire that the Israelites followed by night and the cloud by day. But nonetheless, we know that something truly happened in the skies, in the stars, the time Jesus was born. There's much evidence found in Scripture and outside. And so we won't talk too much more about that, but the Magi, who knew how to study the stars and believed that this was the star of the King of Bethlehem, were willing to follow it all the way to Jerusalem and find this baby, who was no longer a baby, by the way. He's probably about 18 months by this stage, as I mentioned to the children. And he was disturbed, so disturbed that he was willing to take some different actions. For example, in Matthew 2, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Messiah was to be born, they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, as it was written. And the wise men, once they had gone, they said, take the child and his mother. After the wise men visited, an angel appeared to Mary and Joseph and said, take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for King Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. And so they got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem, in that whole vicinity. Anyone who was 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned about from the Magi. And this was how the prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And so you can see how just this star and the Magi's visit was all part of God's big plan for even more prophecies to be fulfilled in just, such horrible circumstances. But the predictions that would were foretold many years earlier were very much fulfilled just in this continuing story. So everyone was aware the Messiah had come. More and more prophecies were fulfilled. The Messiah had definitely come. And that was the point of the star, to show that the King, the Messiah, had come. We can't be certain, however, there are certain prophecies that the Magi might have read. So they knew that the prophecies were fulfilled in this star in Bethlehem. And in Numbers 24:17, Balaam, a non-Jew, prophesies, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." And these verses were prophetic utterances from, as I said, a non-Jew, Balaam. And in this messianic prophecy, it's pointing to the coming of a divine royal figure, one who brings both guidance and authority. And of course, we know that is Jesus. And so just in summary, I want to say the star reminds us of Jesus' birth, where we can find him, the kingship, his divine nature. And it reminds us that the star didn't appear to Jews and priests and all of the Israelites. He appeared to people from a far-off land who probably knew of these prophecies and the promises of a king through the Israelites when they were exiled to Babylon. They would have learnt some of their cultures and religious things then. But the star reminds us that the biblical story, isn't just for the religious or for the Jews, it's for the whole world, for everybody. And that was part of God's big plan right from the beginning. The Father announced his son and his birth to the most unlikely candidates, shepherds, wise men, and people like us, reminding us that the gospel is for everyone. And I just want to move on to the star, Jesus, as the bright morning star. I think that's the one
that's fallen down.
The one that names of Jesus. We're working our way around the room. We've done nearly all of them. I think we've still got a few more to come, but Jesus as the bright morning star. Not a star like this, but a real bright morning star. I think it's mostly known as Venus is called the bright morning star these days. But it's an extra bright, beautiful, stunning star, which was also, you know, a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus names himself just that. He appeared in a very dark time in Israel's history when he was first born. He brought the light into the world. He was the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied about. Everyone was expecting him. In this dark time, his birth came as a shining light. And he will come again. And he says to the people of Israel and to all of us through the scriptures, "I am the root and the branch of Jesse, and I am the bright morning star." There is so much. This is rich fulfillment. All the prophecies being, that he would be... The Messiah would come through the line of David, as I've just given some more examples of. These are true, and the bright morning star, which we don't really understand, but I don't know if you've ever had a time of depression or a hard time in your life where things seemed dark, things seemed hard, and towards the end of that time, there's sort of like a glimpse of hope. It's not yet light, you haven't yet come out of the darkness, but there is a glimpse of hope that maybe the darkness will dispel and the light will come and you'll be free from that dark oppression or depression, whatever you're going through. And this is what the bright morning star promises. The bright morning star comes out just before dawn. It shines brightest right before dawn. And this star promises that the dawn is coming. And pretty soon, you know, the birds start singing, you know, and the new life is coming and you get excited. And next thing, it could be only a few minutes later, but dawn comes, the light comes, it's a fresh new day. There's new promise of new beginning and the darkness dispels. Jesus is the bright morning star. He's that promise of hope, a promise of something else coming, something coming new. And in the context which it's written in Revelation, Jesus had just been talking about the new heavens and the new earth, the new era that is coming, when they won't need a sun or moon because God himself will be the people's light. And Jesus is that bright morning star before the dawning of the new era. He brought that new era in, you know, he brought the kingdom when he first came, a glimpse of that light. He is a bright morning star, but even greater dawn is coming, a time when we will live in God's presence and he will be our light and all darkness shall be dispelled. There will be no more fear or crying or tears or pain or grief. We'll just live in the light of God's presence and everything will be amazing. So that is just amazing if you think about the stars and Jesus. And I want us to think about this even more so on the eve of a new year, being New Year's Eve today, a new year beginning tomorrow. I wonder if you want to think and reflect about how Jesus is your bright morning star. On this eve, your glimpse of hope, what do you hope for in the new year? What do you hope that he will usher in? More of Jesus, more of him coming into our lives, more dispelling of the darkness. If there's anything we need to get rid of out of our lives and just start a new year afresh in his presence. He calls us to come. I want to read the verse just straight after the one we just read. I'll read that first one again. Jesus says, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. It's an invitation for all to come to him and receive what they need, refreshment if they're thirsty, food if they're hungry, new hope, redemption, whatever we need, he will provide. And he invites us to come. And that's what I encourage us all to do afresh today and in the new year, every day of the new year, just come. Come to him, because that's what he invited the Magi to do. That's what he invited the shepherds to do. That's what he invites all of us to do. And he even makes himself the bright morning star so that we are drawn to him, so that we can see the light, we can see the way. He shows the way. He invites us to come and give us all a fresh start. Eternal life in eternity, but also right now and here today. So I might leave it there, and on that note, let me pray. Jesus, we know that you are the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Messiah that was to come. And we see how you fulfilled each one, and how that all the signs pointed to you, and that people came to you and worshipped you in real life, not just in a story from 2,000 years ago. And we just really thank you that you get our attention through stars and different things. And I just really pray that you will help us to draw closer to you, that we will draw close to you like the Magi did, that we will just, follow you as our bright morning star, that you will give us new hope where there is darkness or sadness, or comfort where that's needed and joy where that is needed. We thank you for all your good gifts, and I pray that you'll continue to give them all that we need through this coming year, because you love us, you want to bless us. And we thank you that you are the bright morning star. Amen.